Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
At 6:35 on a Wednesday, coming up in 15 minutes, more on the gas situation. And in a couple of minutes, our weekly feature success at 6. But right now, the top political story of the day. Donald Trump winning a big victory this morning on Capitol Hill. Republicans loyal to Trump voted to strip Liz Cheney of her leadership role in the House. She was the number 3 Republican in the House of Representatives, but Cheney not backing down in her disdain for Donald Trump.
It is an indication of where the Republican Party is, and I think that the party is in a place that we've got to bring it back from, and we've got to get back to a position where we are a party that can fight for conservative principles, that can fight for substance. We cannot be dragged backward by the very dangerous lies of a former president.
But it was that attitude toward Trump that got her thrown out of her position, not as a congresswoman, not as a member of Congress. She still has that. She's just not part of Republican leadership anymore. Rachel Sutherland covering. And Rachel, this was not a surprise, and they moved quickly on it, the Republicans did.
Well, it was fast. There was a quick meeting with the GOP conference behind closed doors today where they did take a voice vote to oust the GOP conference chair Liz Cheney, the congresswoman from Wyoming, which means she'll no longer be in leadership in the House. The president did release a statement basically calling Cheney a terrible person and thought that this was the right thing to do. Republicans of the party have said that this is more than just the statement she's made about President Trump, but rather about their path forward, that they believe they need to have a united front heading into the 2022 midterms.
Well, clearly this is all about Trump. I mean, she came out again after the vote and said, look, you know, I'll do everything I can to keep him out of the Oval Office again. What is the message here that's being sent?
I think the message is that the Republican Party is still trying to find its footing after the loss in 2020 and regrouping for the midterms. And Liz Cheney facing a pretty tough challenge herself in the deep red state of Wyoming. So it is a bit of an identity crisis, yet it appears that the pro-Trump supporters are greater in number than those. I mean, that old term that goes back to 2016, a never-Trumper, right? And it's fascinating to find ourselves today to think about 10 or 15 years ago talking about the daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney somehow being, you know, ostracized by the Republican Party. That would have been unthinkable. But it just shows the way the Republican Party has changed, how much Donald Trump has influenced the Republican Party, for better or for worse. And the people that still follow him are still looking to him for leadership.
It is clearly still his party.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, though, that the greater referendum on that is going to be the primaries and the midterm elections coming up. Republicans are looking to hang on the president's messages and his policies as a way to court voters to retake the House and the Senate. So that'll be a greater referendum on what kind of power the president still holds over the party. And then in 2024, the former president has expressed desire to run. He may run. But there's going to be other Republicans who also want to get on that. Remember back in 2016, how many Republicans were in that primary? I think it was like upwards of 17 or 18.
That's right. So we hear her, Liz Cheney, referred to as the number 3 in GOP leadership. What was her job, really?
Yeah, the GOP conference chair works with other leadership to come up with legislative priorities and really is the face of the Republican Party. When you see those lawmakers coming out for news conferences, you usually see House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. Then you'll see Minority Whip Steve Scalise, and standing right by them would be the GOP conference chair. Now, there's word that Elise Stefanik of New York could be the favorite to take this job as GOP conference chair. But there are some conservatives who are saying, look, Stefanik's voting record hasn't been as conservative as Cheney's.
Yeah, she's not a shoe-in for the job. That's for sure. Rachel, thanks. Rachel Sutherland, Fox News, the White House. So Liz Cheney getting the boot from her leadership role in Republican politics in Congress, and it's all because she repeatedly lashed out at Donald Trump. 20 before 7 here on WBT. It's time now for our Wednesday feature, Success at 6. local people who find success in unusual ways. This is National Nurses Week in the U.S. Did you know that? Of course, with the pandemic, we certainly owe a debt we can never really repay to people in healthcare. But our Joe Gillespie now tells us about a Charlotte nurse who decided to get into the profession just by watching how her little brother was cared for when he was a young kid in the hospital.
You never thought when you became a nurse that you would be one during a whole pandemic. It's been challenging. I've been tearful. I've cried so much. It's just been very, very emotional, but very rewarding as well.
Latifa Jeter, ICU nurse, Novant Health Presbyterian Medical Center.
And we've learned so much during this whole time, and, you know, you become really thankful and really appreciative.
She's most always wanted to be a nurse. She started when she was very young. Her brother had some issues, and she used to help care for him.
And I'd see the nurses in the hospital during my brother's visits and things, and I was like, I could really do that, and this is something that I could do long-term, and it'll be really rewarding to care for people, you know, at their weakest moments and just make them feel that everything's going to be okay.
It has been quite a year.
You know, you would go to work. You never knew what was going to happen, if you would have staff, if you would have, you would see all kinds of patients there. And it was crazy. The word, it was just crazy. You know, you do the best you can. We didn't know if we would have PPE to protect ourselves. And the supplies that we needed to really protect our patients, you know, we had to make do with what we had and, you know, just have faith in the community to be, you know, responsible and to follow the protocols and wear their masks.
And now?
It's still out there. COVID is still heavy. We still have patients coming in, you know, who are just tired, who have been struggling. And you know, we do our best and we do what we can. It's better. I can say that it is better. You know, I would go to work before this time last year and I'd be exhausted. You know, we would have to gown up and wear headpieces and, you know, shoe coverings and the masks that were just so tight. And, you know, we couldn't breathe, but we just knew that it was protecting us and we had to do the best that we can and we took care of our patients.
If she had known several years ago what she knows now, would she still be a nurse?
Oh, yes, of course. Of course. You know, we always, you know, what kept us together during this whole time is that our teamwork and the fact that we did have each other and we could depend on each other, that we could smile at each other and make the best out of the situation, the best out of what we had. And, you know, it's crazy because we wouldn't change it. You would do it all over again, and we'd talk about years from now when our little grandkids are growing up and in school, how we'll probably be in those books, and they'll talk about us and that we can speak on our experiences and what we went through.
On the front line during the pandemic, Latifa Jeter, ICU nurse, Novant Health Presbyterian Medical Center. Joe Gillespie, WVT News.
Thank you, Joe, and happy Nurses Week to all of you.